We're so glad to see so many of you lovely people here today. And we would especially like to welcome all the knees, elbows, livers, earlobes, kidneys, big toes, and every other part of our wonderful bodies. We do sincerely hope you'll all enjoy the show. And please remember, people, that no matter who you are, and whatever you do to live, thrive, and survive, there are still some things that make us all the same. You, me, them, everybody. Everybody needs a body. Everybody needs a body to move, a body to eat, a body to dance, a body to sleep, a body to think, a body to pray, a body to work, a body every day. It's a temple of God, whether or not it looks nice. And it was made by His grace, and I can use it to praise. And at the end of all time, it's gonna be remade. It's gonna be new, 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 indestructible, new, 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 incorruptible, new, 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 imperishable, new, 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 immortal,
Well, good morning. I didn't know if people would be dancing in the aisles to that. I had no idea. You put a video on and I thought everyone would be dancing around, but everyone stayed in their chairs. No one was willing to get their dance on. Anyway, welcome to our service here this morning. We're looking at how we understand the idea of our resurrected bodies. We're going to be thinking about Jesus' resurrected body and what that means and how we apply that today. So that's why the song connects. Just a few notices. There's a church members meeting on the 16th of May. Need to give notice that Gillian Hardwick will be brought forward to be re-elected as church secretary. And also to say that's in the building only. I'm sorry, gone are the days of church meetings in bed. It is a real challenge to do votes when people aren't present. It just means I've got people going around dropping off voting slips and about. It's just so much easier if everyone comes together. I appreciate it's an inconvenience to some who maybe have got used to church meetings in bed, but we'll gather together. There'll be some discussion, time to reflect together and work through important matters of church business. Just to also remind that David Asquith's funeral is on Friday the 13th at 12 p.m. here at the church. Lou would love if there's some volunteers to do some refreshments or help with the catering. Please speak to Lou. Lou's just going to wave a hand in the air so everyone knows who Lou is. That's on the 13th of February, David's funeral. Sorry, February, where did that come from? 13th of May. There's a prayer meeting tonight on Zoom. Please do log in at 8 o'clock if you'd like to. And also, please stay for tea and coffee after the service. You're welcome to. It will be served from the lounge. So you're welcome to go and get a cup of tea, come and sit in here, stay in the lounge, go somewhere else in the building, but please do hang around for coffee after our service. We're going to say some words of liturgy together that will appear on our screen. Christ has risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. You stand among us saying, peace be with you. We gaze in confusion, joy and amazement. Open our minds, risen Saviour, to hear your word and respond in faith. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you. like taking things apart so they're distinct and separated. We categorize, distinguish, till they're disassociated. Our world divides and conquers. We dichotomize to bits, creating camps and factions until nothing really fits. We say physical and spiritual, and secular and sacred, and normal things and special things, as if they're unrelated. There's things we think God cares about, like spirit, soul. Divides and conquers. We dichotomize to bits, creating camps and factions until nothing really fits. We say physical and spiritual, and secular and sacred, and normal things and special things, as if they're unrelated. There's things we think God cares about, like spirits, souls, and minds, while bodies, work, and earthly things, we guess he'd leave behind. Yet God, our great creator, he likes looking at the whole. He made ourselves so integrated, body, mind, and soul. He made the heavens and the earth and linked it all together, with systems, shapes, and patterns to the tides, the years, the weather. He doesn't think we're all the same, and yet we all belong. We sing our different harmonies that add up to one song. We bring to him our whole selves, soul and strength and mind and heart. He loves the total of our lives, the sum of all our parts. He's God the integrator. God is three and God is one. Forever, indivisibly, the Father, Spirit, Son. We're not just spirits in some meat or brains upon a pole. So stick us back together, God, and take our all, our whole.
Now it's time to join Dinah and Clive.
Well, hello everyone. It's good to connect with you again, and we hope you've had a good week. What are we thinking about today? Today, we're thinking some more about Jesus' resurrection. We're thinking about what his being raised to life again meant to those who witnessed it at the time, and we're thinking about what it means to us today. Tell you more. In today's Bible passage, we're told that the disciples were gathered together and suddenly Jesus appeared among them. Like a ghost. Well, they thought he was a ghost, but he showed them his wounded hands and his wounded feet, and he let them touch him, so they knew he was real. And then he ate some fish with them, so the disciples knew he was really alive. Yes, but his resurrected body was able to operate in two different kingdoms, in a different dimension. He was living on earth and in heaven. He was alive, but he was made different. He was the same, but he was made new. So he was a bit like a cake. I really don't see what this has to do with cake. Perhaps you can explain. Cake is made of several things. Yes. Tell you. Okay. So cake is made of eggs and flour and sugar and butter. Then what? Well, you mix them together and you put the mixture in a cake tin in the oven to bake. And when it comes out, it's been changed. Ah, do you mean that the oven is like a tomb and when it comes out, it's risen? You hadn't thought of that. What you meant is that it's still eggs and flour and butter and sugar, but it looks different. And it tastes much, much better than it did before. Oh, I see. Like a cake. Like a cake, the resurrected body is a much improved version. I think that's quite a good example. But we want to think about what does it mean to us today? You see, through the death and resurrection of Jesus, we can be resurrection people. We can be new, improved versions. We are forgiven and can be reborn. We can be made new and we can be part of that new kingdom that is to come. Not only that, but Jesus said that his followers should share this good news with everyone. Did he mean all his followers? Even us today? Yes, even though that sometimes seems a really difficult thing to do, we can trust that because he is alive, he will always be with us to help and encourage us. That's really good news. Yes, it is, and something worth sharing. Just like cake, that's worth sharing too. Yes, it is. Shall we share some now? Yes, but we'll say goodbye first. So it's goodbye from me, and it's goodbye from Clive, and we'll see you again next time. Have a good week, and be blessed.
Well, we'd love to pray for our children as they go out to their groups, or pray a blessing on them. Lord God, we thank you for the children in our fellowship. I pray that as they learn and grow, as they hear some think about your truths this morning, I pray a blessing on them. Amen. Well, children, off you go. Fantastic. Well, I'm going to be Graham Briscoe for the next few moments and share a little bit about the projects that he's involved in and our mission partner, the Centre of Hope. Graham's done a short little video that we'll show in a moment. But I wanted to start by just bringing your attention to their newsletter. So the Centre of Hope will be our mission focus for this month. In 2 weeks' time, Peter Butcher is going to come and preach. That's in 2 weeks' time, and he's going to share a little bit more about the whole project. But I just wanted to draw our attention to it as we start our month. If you've got the recent newsletter, you would have read this prayer or this reflection from the centre. There's some spare ones here, and if you'd like to sign up, I'm sure you can contact Graham Briscoe. This is just reflecting on their work with the Ukrainian refugees. And it says this: all those Ukrainian refugees that have stayed at the center have said that there's an aura of peace there. One morning, I was speaking with Olaf, who had spent several days traveling from Krakow, where his wife and his disabled son, and I asked if he had had good night's sleep, and this was his reply: a wonderful night, no bombing, no shelling, and no planes. It's hard to imagine what this is like. And the majority of those who we have hosted have told us that their houses have been destroyed and some of the atrocities that they have seen. Another young family from the outskirts of Kyiv with their 15-month son with cerebral palsy told them that the Russian soldiers came into their village, so they hid in the cellar. The soldiers broke into their house, looted it, trashed what was left, set fire to their house and wrecked their car. We helped them get a train ticket to Germany, where they now settle with a German family and their son is starting therapy treatment next week. There's more reflections and updates on the work there at the center. We're going to watch the video. Graham apologizes for the voiceover. You'll notice it's not his, it's a little bit strange, but let's just hear what Graham says.
Welcome to a short presentation about the church visit to the Center of Hope in Dorohoi, Romania in April 2019. So where did we go? To the northernmost part of Romania, close to the borders with Ukraine and Moldova. This is one of the poorest areas of Romania. There's some beautiful buildings in Dorohoi, like the local church, for example. But most are run down and the people live in awful conditions. Meet the work party that visited 3 years ago. You'll probably recognize some familiar faces. There's Richard, Colin, Bernard, Graham, Penny, Linda, Barbara, Sylvia, Carol, David and Diane, plus Peter and Leslie Butcher. We painted the stair railings of both buildings and the shed. We also built a store cupboard under the stairs of the annex, on the left of this photo. Here is the finished cupboard that was expertly created by Richard, Bernard, and Colin. They were assisted by Penny, who also did the painting. And here's the shed, beautifully painted by Graham, Penny, Linda, Barbara, Sylvia, Carol, David, and Diane. The same paint crew also painted the stair and balcony railings at the front and back of both buildings. This is Peter with the team that work at the center. From left to right, there's Costel, who does all the running around and tends to the vegetable plot. Amy is one of the cooks. Ovidiu is the center manager, who keeps a tight grip on the center finances. Anna is the other cook. And Raluca is the social worker, who is currently on maternity leave. And finally, here are Peter and Leslie, the founders of the charity, with one of the trustees. Peter will be coming to speak about the help the center provides to the community in Dorohoi and preach the sermon on Sunday, the 15th of May. I'm sure it will be an interesting talk, so put the date in your diaries, Sunday, the 15th of May. Thank you.
Now, I've known Graham for 8 years, and that's not his voice. I'd assume he's used some computer voiceover, but I hope you got an understanding of the work there at the Center of Hope. We'll hear a little bit more in 2 weeks' time. I'd love for us just to pause for a moment and pray for the work there. Oh Lord God, we thank you for our mission partners. We thank you for how we can support them, not just financially, but in our prayers. And in our actions as well, going and being part of the projects there. We think of the over 175 refugees who have stopped by that building, walked up those stairs, made the most of the shed and the garden, been part of that place for that night. We thank you for the generosity and the support that has happened through the team there. And Lord God, as the war drags on, we're aware that our reality is still so very distant from what it feels like to be so close to the border, meeting families who tell stories of destruction and the heartaches of war. Praise, we heard just that one story, it brings to light the realness of this conflict. We pray for resolution, for for resurrection in this situation, for change in this situation. That something drastic, something beyond anyone's expectation could happen. We pray for your Spirit's anointing and presence in those places of pain and suffering. And Lord God, we thank you for Graham and the connection to the Centre of Hope. We pray for in 2 weeks' time when we hear from Peter Butcher. I pray that as a church we'll continue to find creative ways to walk alongside our mission partners. Pray all these things in your precious name. Amen. We're going to have our Bible readings. Thank you, Denise, and thank you, Mark.
Okay, so this is Luke chapter 24, verses 36 to 49. Jesus appears to the disciples. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I, myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high."
So I'm reading 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 to 23. It captures the substance of the logic of the resurrection that was one of the key things that brought me to faith. "But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God. For we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But if he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised, for if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are, of all people, most to be pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ, the first fruits, then, when he comes, those who belong to him.
Well, what on earth is going on here? What are we reflecting on and speaking about? I'd love just to pray, and then we'll dive in together. Lord God, we talk about an emotive subject. We reflect on this life and the next, not something we easily wrestle with or easily come to terms with. Some of us overly think about it. Others choose not to. But there's something in Jesus' resurrection that also speaks into our lives. And I pray that as we reflect on that this morning, something of your truth will come through. Amen. Now, we used to do this, turn and have a chat to someone next to you. Some people, actually most people hated it, but I think it's a good opportunity just to think a little bit and get us questioning. So the question is, what will our bodies look like in heaven? That's the question. Turn and have a chat. If you don't want to talk to anyone, please just stare forward and people will get the message. But if you want to turn to the person next to you, have a little chat. What will our resurrected bodies look like in heaven? Have a quick chat. Okay, I wonder if we have anyone brave enough to shout something out. Anyone brave enough? What will our bodies look like in heaven? We'll be like him. Yeah, okay. There you go. We'll be like him, clothed in his righteousness. Anything else? Sorry, go here. Still be recognizable. Sorry? You said the same. John, what did you say? Better than you are now. Anything else?
Well, in Revelation, it says we'll have a new name.
Okay.
I wondered whether Jean and I might have the same new name.
The two Jeans. Will the two Jeans have the two new names? There we go. Anything else? Fantastic. Hopefully you enjoyed that little conversation. We're going to reflect a little bit, and we'll continue our series connecting in with the Engage Worship team, and these reflections I've adapted but come from their resources. Suggested that resurrection is a misunderstood word. It's easy to think that our resurrected person or body will just live on in spirit. that our souls will continue in this disembodied ghost-like form. It can often be comforting to think about our loved ones or about Jesus in that way. But this is not what resurrection means in the Bible. Jews who believed in resurrection took the view that at the end of time, God would raise them in physical bodily form. Until then, they believed life after death was either temporary reanimation, such as Lazarus, or some sort of ghostly encounter. This takes our thinking beyond Ghostbusters to something I'd suggest that's even more surreal in some ways and requires us to think differently, to see something in death that's more of the same as life. This can be even scarier than the thought of a ghost or someone on a cloud. Paul is very aware in his thinking that we're talking about a mystery. Listen, I'll tell you a mystery, he says. We're talking about something that's too profound for mere human discovery. We are wrestling with something we don't and will never fully understand. We might try and wrestle with Paul's words, but we'll always never fully understand what he's talking about. But we try. So we try. Tom Wright says, everyone knew about ghosts, spirits, visions, hallucinations, and so on. Most people in the ancient world believed in such things. They were quite clear that that wasn't what they meant by resurrection. Resurrection meant bodies. So we need to shift in our thinking. It's almost impossible to understand 1 Corinthians 15, the passage that Mark read to us, without understanding three elements in Paul's mind. First was that the dead would be raised into a new era, a new creation that would be physical as the old creation. Two, that general resurrection would take place when the new creation came into being. And three, that Jesus' resurrection began but didn't bring completion of that new creation. Paul doesn't believe that our bodies and souls will be separated. They will be renewed, they say, without the state of sin infecting them. So you're right, John, we'll be a better self. We will be as we were created to be before the reality of a state of sin and disease came in. This requires us to think that our souls and our bodies are together, making the connection between the physical and the spiritual being equally as important. It requires us to see this world and the next, not as two polar opposites, the evil world down here and the perfect world up there, but as a new earth and a new heaven. We see that Jesus' body was physically transformed after the resurrection. In our stories, the disciples see the risen Jesus and they think he's a ghost. But Jesus proves in some strange ways that he's flesh and blood. He has marks on his hands and his feet, and he can sit down and still have a meal. He's no ghost, he's physical, or somewhere in between. We see also that this body is able to appear and disappear. It's eternal and incorruptible. Jesus has a resurrected, transformed physical body somewhere between this world and the next. Jews also believe that the resurrection was supposed to happen at the end of time. But in the crucifixion, Jesus drags that end of time into the cross. God's future is now at the cross. He pulls God's promise of this new creation, this new thinking that it just when everything goes bad at the end of time, that God will bring about new. Jesus pulls it to the cross and says, I am this new creation. We're not waiting for something in the distance. It's happened now, and he pulls it towards them, this promised new creation, the kingdom of God, the now and the not yet. It's here. He drags it to the foot of the cross. And in some ways, he shows us what that resurrected body will look like. Physical but transformed, real but imperishable, created but eternal. We live in this now and not yet of the kingdom of God. And we see from our passage in Corinthians that Jesus brings about something of the first fruits, Paul describes it. His resurrection is like the blossom, the very early apple buds on the tree, promising that something spring-like is happening in the kingdom of God, promising that something new is emerging from the resurrection. He gives us hope that our bodies matter, that this created world matters, that God will resurrect our bodies and this whole creation. He's dragged that, just let's just wait for it all to finish, to now. So he's pulled it close to him. We're not to live as if this earth is wasted and hang around waiting for heaven. This planet has a godly value, should be loved and respected. You have a godly value as well. It's why we should be catching up with conservation thinking and ashamed of the role we play in raping and scarring our world. This planet matters to God's creation. It's not to be abused until we jump off it at the end of time. Our bodies are to be treated and cared well for as well. Not to be ashamed of what God has given us. Showing care for ourselves is not an ungodly thing. The physical matters. It's why social care is so closely associated with church life. Spiritual care, social care. Toddler group is as important as the Alpha course. That's why in church history, the great movements of church history say that when churches get involved in the social need of the day, transformation comes along. We are to serve people and value people. So we live in this resurrected thinking. Not a simple message, something of a mystery. But in Jesus' resurrection, we see something of our own resurrection. In our own change, ultimately, that's what resurrection is. We are changed with Christ. When we come to know Christ, we are transformed and embody this change, or do we? I hope we do. I hope we embody something of resurrection in our lives. So hopefully we deal with life differently. We're changed in how we love each other, how we approach each other. Pray that we might change in how we engage with one another, share with one another. We are to continue to be resurrected, continue to be changed. We don't just make it and stay there. We are to continue in that change. Liz is going to lead us in a time of reflection and response on this same idea. Thank you, Liz.
We're going to pray using our hands. So if you'd like to, first rest your hands in your lap with the palms facing up. Have a look at those hands. See all the lines, all the creases in them. Maybe a scar or two, all totally unique to you. Creator God, we thank you for making us unique, that you knit us together in this beautiful way. Now take your right hand and your pointing finger and put the tip of it in the centre of your left hand. Jesus' risen body still bore the marks of the nails in his hands. he invited Thomas to touch the marks. Imagine being Thomas and feeling physical proof of Jesus' resurrection. Risen Saviour, we thank you for your death and resurrection, conquering sin and death. We sense death and we sense illness in our bodies, but we thank you that you promise that we will rise with you. Next, close your hands into fists in front of you. Most of us carry baggage when it comes to our own thinking about our bodies. As you hold your fists, consider what baggage you carry. It could be your own feelings, your attitudes towards your body, words spoken over you, perhaps many years ago, or perhaps words that we absorb from what the culture around us tells us about our bodies. Maybe they've let us down somehow, or maybe the world that we live in that's set up in such an unhealthy way often has let us down. Whatever baggage you're carrying, imagine holding it in your hands and tell God about it. Loving Father, your grace is enough for us. We let go of our burdens and ask you to carry them for us. Slowly open those fists and allow your burdens and your baggage to go to God. Turn your hands over in front of you with the palms up. With empty hands, we're able to receive from God. What gift does he want to place into your hands today? Is it a new knowledge of how beautifully made you are? Is it a calling to go and do something with this body he's made you into? Or is it an affirmation of his great love for you? Holy Spirit, we receive you afresh. Whisper the truth of your love into our hearts. Lay the gifts that you have for us in these hands. Finally, think about your week coming up. Where will you be? What will you do? Point your finger in the direction where you'll be spending a lot of your time this week. Look at your finger pointing outwards. God is calling you to that place. When you walk, talk, eat, embrace, work, rest. Whatever you are doing, you will be an ambassador for Christ, one of his resurrection people. Lord Jesus, help us walk in your footsteps this week. Help us follow your way. We go in your resurrection power. Amen. We're going to sing again now. Please stand if you'd like to and if you're able.
See the purple robe and crown of thorns. See We worship at your feet.
We'll say the words on the screen as we depart. We've given David a lot to do today. Okay. God, send us out to be your resurrection people. Jesus, who was dead, is now alive. He's first fruits of all creation. The risen Jesus walked, talked, and ate. He showed us that our bodies are good. Jesus has brought peace to us. We are sent out to bring peace to creation. God, send us out to be your resurrection people. Amen. Well, do please stay for tea and coffee after the service. Next week, Claire will be speaking to us on the topic of doubt and thinking about that. So God bless you.